Welcome to Rambam on the Line. We're up to Perek Asiri, the 10th chapter of Hilchos Shavuos. We're continuing with the laws of Shavuos Oedus, the oath that the witnesses said. And they swore that they did no testimony, but they did, for the special laws about such an oath. Hayoedav alach mehem posel, o korov, if the witnesses, or one of the witnesses, was disqualified, or he was a relative. V'finu imsoledus shel devarim, even if he was disqualified as a relative by rabbinic law. Or if one of the witnesses was the king who was not fit to testify. Or it was a witness who just heard hearsay. He didn't see the act directly. He just heard what another witness said. And they denied and swore falsely. They are free of the liability of the oath of the witnesses. Because if they would have testified, their testimony would have not necessitated him to pay money, since they are disqualified from testifying. Beis, Mashbeni Aleichem, I cause you to swear, that you should come and testify for me, that so-and-so said he would give me 200 zuzim, and he never gave it, they deny this, they would be free of the liability of Shavuos Oedus. Why? Because even if they were to testify this, the one who's being claimed against would not be obligated to pay, just because he said he would pay him, he's not really obligated to pay him. The same would be true in any similar circumstance. Gimel. If he asked the witnesses to testify for him that he's a Kohen or a Levi, or that he's not the son of a divorced woman, or the son of a woman who had chalitza, and they denied this knowledge, and they swore falsely, they are free of the law of the testimony, the oath of the witnesses, because there is no testimony concerning money here. And only in those testimonies do the laws of Shavuos Oedus apply. If he asked him to testify that his son injured him, which would be a capital offense, or that so-and-so burned down his threshing place on Shabbos, or that so-and-so raped or seduced his betrothed daughter. So all of these cases, there's money involved, but there's also a capital offense. They're not liable to the oaths of testimony. Because if they were to testify with this testimony, the one being claimed against would be liable to death by the hands of the Beis Din. He wouldn't have to pay. As we've explained in the laws of Naira, the same would be true in any similar case. If there was one witness and he denied it and he caused him to swear, he is free of Shavuos Oedus, because the testimony of one witness does not cause the liability of money. If he asked his two witnesses to testify that his wife committed adultery, they denied and swore, they are liable to Shavuos Oedus. Why? If they testified, she would lose her marriage contract. And he would be free of paying the marriage contract. Thus, they've denied a testimony of money. So in this case, there would in fact be a loss of money, whether she would be killed or not. The fact is, he would not have to pay the ksuva. So there is monetary interest involved. If he has witnesses that saw how he warned his wife not to be found with another man, or witnesses that saw her going in a private place with this man, they denied it and swore, they're free of Shavuos Oedus. Because if they would have testified, there would be no monetary obligation, only the obligation of having to drink the bitter waters. Even though this testimony causes her to lose the ksuva if she refuses to drink, something that causes a monetary loss is not considered like money, because she might drink and not lose her ksuva, her marriage contract. If a man warned his wife and she hid herself, and there were witnesses to this, and she committed adultery with one witness after the warning and the hiding, and he enjoined this witness to come and testify, and this person denied it. Chai b'shuas oedus, he is liable for shuas oedus. Why? Shav b'shuas echad, even though he's only one witness, the law in this case is, if he were to testify, she would go out without a ksuva, so there is a monetary loss involved. Shabbat b'chusot, as we've explained in the laws of Sota. Test. Anytime there's one witness making liable money in his testimony, if he denied or swore, or he swore in the Beis Din, or he caused him to swear, I should say, in the Beis Din, he administered the oath in Beis Din, and he denied it, then he is liable because of the oath of witnesses. Let's say the person making the claim and the person being claimed against were suspect of swearing falsely. The law being in that case that they don't swear. Now he enjoined this witness with an oath to come and testify for him that so-and-so owes him a 100 zuzim, and he denied it. He would be liable because of shuas waitis. Why? Because the law is that in a case where neither party can swear, if a witness testifies on behalf of the one who's making the claim, he would have to pay money as a result of this testimony, the person being claimed against. As will be explained in the laws of claims. The same would be true in any similar case where, for one reason or another, the one witness has the power to cause a payment of money, and he denies it and refuses to testify, and then he would have to pay. Then the laws of Shuas Edus would be in effect. If a witness enjoined with an oath, a woman enjoined one witness with an oath to swear that her husband died, and he denied this, he is liable to Shuas, because if he were to testify, she would get married and take her marriage contract. Remember, more when does this apply? If she could have collected her ksuva from movable objects. If she can only collect her ksuva from land, then he's not liable to the oath of testimonies, because as we learned before, that doesn't apply to claims of land. Even if there were two witnesses there, still it's potter, because if you enjoin an oath to witnesses over land, they are free of liability, as we've explained in a previous chapter. If he enjoined his witnesses to swear in the court, and they both denied it together, the second one began his denial within Tok de Dibur, the amount of time that it takes to issue a greeting. Within that amount of time from when the first one stopped. They're both liable to the laws of the oath of the witnesses. So each one would have to bring a sin offering for his oath. If the first witness denied it, and the second one waited more than the amount of time that it takes to issue a greeting, and then he denied it, the first one is liable to the laws of the oaths of the witnesses, and the second one is not liable. Why? Because at this point, if the second one admitted and would testify, his testimony would be worthless because there's only one witness left. Whereas if he denies right after the first one, it's considered together and at the same time. If one first admitted, and then the other one denied. A kofer chayev bin shakofer b'chila bin shakofer b'self. The one who denied it is liable, whether it's in the beginning or at the end, because his denial made the testimony impossible. Kofer shneim ke'achav v'karam ha'achav v'hoda b'toch k'dei dibur ha'rei zepacher. If two denied it at the same time, and one admitted that he was wrong within toch k'dei dibur, within the amount of time it takes to give a greeting, then he is patur, he's not liable. But the one who remains in his denial is liable because he's the one who is invalidating the testimony falsely, and the laws of the oaths of the witnesses apply to him. If he enjoined the two groups of witnesses to testify, and they're both fit to testify, the first one denied it, and then the second one afterwards, the first one
is not liable.
Why?
Because they're depending on the second group of witnesses. And the money can be extracted by the testimony of the second group. Therefore, the one who's claiming is not getting his money solely based on the testimony of these people who are denying it, because there's a second group. If the second group were related to the person making the claim or being claimed against through their wives, Farei, Hain, Gosasos, and they are near death, and the relationship may soon end. In that case, the first one is liable too. Because the second group was not fit to testify when the first one denied it. Even though they will soon be fit, when the wives who are in a state of near death will die, they will no longer be related, and they will be able to testify. Still, the fact is that right now, the second can testify. If the second group denied after their wives died, they are liable to Shavuot Seder, because now they are not relatives anymore. They could have testified, and if they swear falsely, then they are, of course, liable. If he asked the witnesses to testify for him, and they denied it, and he enjoined them with an oath, they answered in affirmative, amen. He caused them to swear four or five times. And then they respond outside of Besen, teach in every oath. When they finally come to Besen, they admit it, and they testify. They are free of the liability of the oath of the witnesses, as we've explained. The denial must be in the court. However, if they came to the court and remained in the state of denial, then they are liable for each and every one of the oaths that was outside of the Beis Din. When does this apply if they affirmed the oath by answering Amen? If they didn't say Amen, but just merely denied in each and every oath, since they didn't actually say the oath or respond with Amen, they are not liable until he enjoins them with an oath in the Beis Din, and they deny it there. As we previously explained. If he enjoined them with an oath in the Beis Din and they denied it, and then he enjoined them with an oath again four or five times and they denied it on each and every time, whether these other denials were outside or within the Beis Din, even if they answered Amen or swore themselves time and time again, they're liable only once for the oath of the witnesses. Because once they denied it in Bezin the first time, if they would then change their mind and say, we will testify, their testimony would be worthless, since you already had one denial in the Beis Din. And therefore, any subsequent denial, any subsequent oath, is not an oath which could have brought money to the claimant. You test and face the so you learn. Any oath that they swore after denying in Beis Din, they're considered a denial of testimony which would not obligate money. They are not liable as far as the oaths of testimony, but they are liable with Shavuot Bitui, as we've explained.